Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established Soul Dress Life. I am your host, Levon, and if I sound chipper and good and all that bullshit, I'm lying, because I feel like that. I don't know if I'm sick, I don't know if it's the allergies, I don't know if it's a combination of the two. All I know is my ass is here, and we're going to try to get through this week like we do every week. This is the Soup, it's a Ketchup Show. We try to do these at least once a month to not miss the things that have been going on, because sometimes we get caught up in the minutia of the quote-unquote big story and we forget about the other things that are happening. So the healthcare debate is still going on, and this is something that will not go to bed for some time, because obviously the Republicans want it. This is something that they fought for and they've been pushing ever since President Obama was able to get through Congress and then sign into law the Affordable Health Care Act. Well, the CBO came out with its review on Monday. And this is the documentation that a lot of people were waiting for, because it's nonpartisan, it's totally independent, and their findings were pretty much what everyone thought it was going to be. It's a bloodbath. It's not pretty at all. Their findings were 24 million people are going to go without coverage by the year 2026. 24 million people are going to go without health care coverage by the year 2026. Now, on the good side, if there is a good side to such, is that the nation is going to save $337 billion over that same time frame. That's a lot of money. And I understand why the Republicans are so hell-bent on getting that savings. You know, we've seen countries overseas default on their bills because they owed so much money in payments to their citizens that it has really held them to a standard that they can't do both. They can't keep up with the entitlements and still keep up with their bills. So I totally understand why they're pushing for this. there's no misinformation that I'm getting from it. I get it, but at the expense of so many people, there has to be another way. One of the ways is a way that no one wants to talk about, which is taking away welfare for corporations through military spending. Why are we still building helicopters, planes, ships, yada, 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 at the rate that we're building? I'm not saying stop, but at the rate that we're building them. Why are all our contracts 100% guaranteed? Meaning, even if we decide we want to go another way, we still have to pay the company for shit that they may not even have built yet. That makes no sense. There are other ways to go about doing this. And that is what I am disturbed by most, to be totally honest with you. Now, in the immediate future, 14 million people are assessed to not be insured next year if the bill becomes law. There is no path that the bill found for coverage for everyone, which is a tenet that President Trump, has uttered several times. Like, he's going to find a way in which everyone has coverage. He guaranteed basically universal health care. Well, we'll get to, in a short minute, him and his damn guarantees. But there was no way that they saw, the CBO that is, the Congressional Budgeting Office, saw that the plan would or will cover everyone. Knowing that this was coming down the pipe, Secretary of HHS, Tom Price, came out and he denounced the findings. He was saying that it doesn't take into account the regulatory steps that he intends to make, as well as other, and I put that in quotes, legislation that the Republicans plan as part of the multiple step slash tier repeal and replace strategy. Now, here's my issue with that. I have $1 million for you, and it's here for you, but I'm not going to tell you how to get it. That's what I get from this. It doesn't take into account regulatory steps he intends to make. Why didn't you announce them now? If that's your intention, just announce them. What are the regulatory steps you're going to make? Go for it. You have the floor, literally. You have the floor of the House. You have the floor of the Senate. Go for it. As well as other legislation that the Republicans plan to put in place as for, in regards to their multi-step slash tier repeal and replacement strategy. Again, you have the House. You have the Senate. Say what you need to say. Say it now. Get it over with. Let everybody know what you intend to do. This is your opportunity to lead. Lead from the front, not the rear. Why are we guessing? We shouldn't be guessing about this. We shouldn't be guessing about any of this. This should be totally clear. No one should have a second thought. Well, maybe. No, there shouldn't be any maybes. This should be as clear as freaking glass. Clear glass, that is, because, you know, there's tinted glass. But it's clear as clear glass. This should not be difficult. Whatever. The average premiums would go up by 15 to 20% higher in the years 2018 and 2019 than they would be under the current law. Now, they would go flat afterwards. And they would end up around 10% lower by 2026. But if they go up by 15 to 20% now and then wind up 10% lower than the current law projects them at, how much are you really saving? You know, that's a bait and switch. So I'm going to take money from you now at 15 to 20% more than what you would have paid. That's going to run for a good number of years. And all of a sudden, I'm going to give you this discount. Another 9 years from now, I'm going to give you a discount. So for 9 years, I'm going to charge the hell out your ass. And then, I'll turn around and give you a discount. Ever make that up? I mean, it's going to take dang near 20 years just to make that 9 years up. This is whatever. It's a shell game. Medicaid. Some states would actually discontinue their expansion eligibility programs because the states are going to be allotted a block amount of funds versus what they get right now. Federal spending per person would be capped. By 2026, federal spending would be 25% lower than it is right now. Beneficiaries would be 17% lower as well, with 14 million fewer people covered by Medicaid. The raw numbers, I really wanted to dig into that for a bit. So right now, what it looks like is by 2026, with the Republican plan, if it becomes law, 52 million people would lose coverage. They would not be covered by health care. Now, think about this. In 2013, pre the Affordable Health Care Act, there were 57 million people without coverage. That's a net of 5 million people. So you only saved 5 million people versus those 5 million people will be covered under the current law, right? By 2026, some good numbers, a 21-year-old earning $26,500, which probably is poverty by 20. Well, hell, it's basically poverty now, but I'm pretty sure that's going to be below the poverty line by 2026, well below. Currently pays $1,700 for their premium. Under the Republican plan, that number goes down. It would actually be $1,450. A 64-year-old by 2026, earning the same amount of money, $26,500, currently pays out-of-pocket $1,700. Under Republican plan, they would pay $14,600. Yes, I said that right, $14,600. Now, remember, they only earn $26,500 out more than half of your total income and health insurance under the Republican plan if you're 64 years old. You are on a fixed income 9 times out of 10 if you're 64 years old, or damn near will be very, very soon. Who has $15,000 to shell out for health care insurance when you're on a fixed income? Who has that money? I don't have that money. Hell, I'm working hard right now. I'm working harder than a Hebrew slave trying to prepare for retirement. I don't have $15,000 in my plan for health care when I retire. Who does that? Really, who does that? A 2020 repeal of cost-sharing subsidies for low-income people and health plan covering a smaller share of consumer medical costs actually drives up deductibles and other out-of-pocket expenses. How are they saving people money? How are they saving people, period? All of this is going to cost you. It is going to cost you. It's going to cost you. If they're successful, it's going to cost you. Planned Parenthood. Defunding Planned Parenthood. What cost? $21 million in 2017. However, over the period of 2017 to 2026, it would cost a total of $77 million. Defunding it would obviously increase the birth rate by several thousand. That is a projection, several thousand. Increased unintended pregnancies would also increase the demand for abortion services, which is not something that most Republicans are wanting to do. So there's an infight right now between the White House and the Congress, Paul Ryan specifically, but even those in the House, Lindsey Graham, Senate, Lindsey Graham comes to mind. Ross Perot, he comes to mind. But they still have the numbers. They have the numbers to get it through. I don't know if they have the backing to get it through. So that is what we're waiting on bated breath. In addition to sorry, I had to sneeze there. In addition to the continuance of the president of pushing this story, this fabrication, this bold-faced fucking lie, that his predecessor had wiretapped or some other forms of surveillance at Trump Tower. Now, this thing has turned all kinds of crazy. It has had spicy on the news, twisting and turning and ducking and dodging. It's had him at the podium answering questions that I'm sure in his head he's standing there like, I never thought that I would be doing this bullshit. But that's what he gets paid to do. And let's remember, this was a, was, and I say was, because this dude, after this whole shenanigans, look, Kellyanne Conway, she was silenced by the administration. It was the best fucking thing for her. Then she came out after the allegations about the surveillance, and she did a couple things, and then again, she fell back. The best place for her, the best place for Spicy, is in the back of the room while the crazies continue to put forward these notions, because this shit is just crazy. It's not insane, because anything can happen, right? But the likelihood of this happening, come on now. Come on. And you know, this bait and switch, this blame the other guy constantly to throw the scent off from me is played out. It's definitely played out. Dude, you are the president. We can only have one president at a time. For whatever reason, your ass is there. It wasn't for my judgment, because I didn't vote for your ass, but you are there. Take charge. Take ownership. Be a leader. And that's not what we're getting. However, what we have is a guy who is up at 0:30 in the morning and tweets. So, you know, look, your tweets matter. I'm going to start the hashtag TLM, Tweet Lives Matter, because this shit has really grown legs of its own. And let's be clear, March 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2017, is a day that will live in infamy. This is the day that our president tweeted, and I quote, terrible. Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped, in quotes, in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. Do you know who McCarthy is and or was, first and foremost? Okay, if you do, no. This is more like Watergate, but okay, don't worry. You'll get it. Donald J. Trump at Real Donald Trump. Now, the House Intelligence Committee Chair, Republican Devin Nunes, is quoted as saying, I haven't seen any evidence to support this. FBI Director James Comey is going before his committee on Monday. Monday coming. Everybody's going to be waiting with bated breath, because, of course, this question is going to come up. Hell, it probably will be the first question out the gate after, how you doing this morning, sir? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Monday morning, stay glued to your television, because shit is going to go crazy. I'm sad that Saturday Night Live is only on Saturday night, because they need to do a special for Monday night and or Tuesday, either or. But anyhow, on the 13th, Spicy defends the quote-unquote wiretaps. He says that it was used, in quotes, to broadly address surveillance and other activities. Used, in quotes, to broadly cover surveillance and other activities. Okay. So, again, you know, I'm trying to work out the logic. I'm a logical person, so I'm trying to understand the logic. So it was used in quotes to broadly address other things. So I go out here and I rob somebody. I then give my report and I say, hey, look, I didn't, quote unquote, rob you. I withdraw funds from you in a manner in which you did not like. Really? Like, what the hell is the difference? What's the difference? Why are we always splitting hairs when it comes to this dude? No, motherfucker. You said wiretaps. Did the President of the United States of America at the time, Barack Obama, have someone wiretap you? That's it. There are no splitting hairs. That's it. That's the question. Is there evidence? Is there a FISA warrant? Is there an investigation of one of your associates that may have come visited you in the Trump Tower, whom, while there, the surveillance continued because it's not going to stop just because they walked in Trump Tower? Like, what the hell? You got an invisible shield around this motherfucker? But you in the cold of silence? I don't get it. No, not going to happen. So, that was Monday. On Wednesday, the 15th, Fox News interview, Trump promises that his administration will be submitting things to Congress soon. And he continues to say, you're going to find some very interesting items coming to the forefront over the next 2 weeks. Things. What are the things? What the fuck, are we in middle school? Are we in elementary school? Dude, you are the president. What things do you have? Who are you hiding it from? You are the fucking president. Say what it is. Keep it plain. What are the things? Kills you. It's going to be huge. What is huge? What does that mean? He's out here toting jobs and how great of a job creator he is. And JCPenney is shutting 138 stores. How many jobs are lost because of that? Boeing's doing layoffs. How many jobs are lost because of that? I mean, dude, let's be honest. Let's keep it real. Let's be real with one another. On Thursday, the Senate Intel Committee Chairman Richard Burr and Ranking Member Mark Warren issued a statement, a joint statement. Based on the information available to us, we see no indications that Trump Tower was the subject of surveillance by any element of the United States government either before or after Election Day 2016. Thursday afternoon, here comes Spicy. At the podium, he cites a Fox News report that said British intelligence helped wiretap Trump Tower during the 26th campaign. Who did he get that from? Fox News. Legal analyst Andrew Nepotano. The legal analyst for Fox News, Andrew Nepotano, on Tuesday reported that British intelligence helped wiretap Trump Tower. And he repeated this shit from the podium with the seal of the President of the United States on Thursday as proof positive that it happened. So here comes Friday, and they're kissing ass like, whoa. Nah, we really didn't mean that the way it came out. We meant it in another way. Oh, what the fuck other way did you mean it, dog? Here we go again. Splitting hairs. On Friday, the British responded, we've made clear to the United States administration that these claims are ridiculous and should be ignored. We receive assurances that these allegations won't be repeated. No one said anything since. But the week wasn't over. So your boy dropped his budget. And when I say dropped, I mean dropped. He hit the world like a fucking atom bomb with this joker. So Meals on Wheels, which served 2.5 million low-income seniors in 2015, is on the budget to get sliced. Not cut totally out, but the funding would, in effect, leave a big dent in their budget. Aid for poor college students. Wisconsin focus group, the Hope Lab, found that 14% of community college students are homeless, while two-thirds don't have enough to eat. Now, this is community college, folks. This is the shit that's around the corner. This is the shit when you look at kids, you're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, at least you're in school. So, hey, good for you. Do your thing, man. Get everything you can get out of there, and once you're done, transfer to a four-year and, you know, blow it up. Do your thing. Do your thing. I'm proud of you. At least you continued on, you know, hey, it wasn't meant for you to go out of state, or it wasn't meant for you to go to state U or whatever right now, but if you do good there, the sky's still the limit. This is the $30 depending on where you live, $80 depending on where you live, $120 depending on where you live, per credit zone. This is no money. Yet two-thirds of the students don't have enough food to eat. And you're going to take money from them? Heating assistance for low-income people. Again, notice the trend. Low-income and old people. You should not be forced to decide whether you want to eat or have heat. After-school and summer programs. Again, low-income people. Not totally low-income people. But for the most part, the target is low-income people. Nutrition for pregnant and nursing moms, better known to all of us as WIC. Huge hit in the budget for WIC. Nutrition for kids in developing countries. Now, why does that matter? Why does that matter? Why are we over here feeding kids from over there, right? That's the question I get. Because it prevents them from, let me see, becoming terrorists? Yeah, that's one good thing, because it prevents them from, wanting to just invade our borders without actually being invited. Yeah, that's another good thing. Let me see, because it gives us some kind of cover in the rest of the world when we do some stupid-ass shit, like drop a bomb somewhere it shouldn't be, or have one of our ships seen where it's not supposed to be, or, you know, some shit like that, you know. Yeah. That's why that's important. Emergency food assistance. Funds for the Community Service Block Grant and other programs like it are to be totally eliminated. Efforts to revitalize public housing. Gone. Legal services, gone. Look, when they cut those state's attorneys, was that last week, week before last? That was the writing on the wall for that. Community service, which is a part of, I'm sorry, which AmeriCorps is a part of, gone. It's gone. The funding for it, gone. This dude took a hatchet, to folk and their livelihood and their ability to just maintain with this budget. Now, again, they control the House and the Senate. This shit is scary because unless somebody steps up from his own party and says, no, these cuts are going through. These cuts are going through. A lot of our folks are going to get hurt. A lot of our neighbors are going to get hurt. Our seniors, our children. We're going to get devastated by this. Pay attention to what's going on, family. Get engaged. Get involved. Do your thing. Call folks. Tell them no. You got to vote this down. We need some amendments. We need some changes to this. A couple more things and then, you know, we'll go away. As you can very well tell, I'm doing it by myself today, so I can't forever talk. Yeah, shut your mouth. I can, but I don't, because I'm not feeling well, it's just not the best of things. Sooner or later, I'm at the sneeze or cough or some other shit, and I just don't want everybody hearing that over air. The Bachelorette season is starting soon. The Bachelorette has its first African-American woman. Rachel Lindsay is her name. She's 31 years old and an attorney from Dallas. I was in Dallas about 2 weeks ago. Let me tell you something. There's a fine ass woman down there in the D. Oh Lord have mercy, there's a fine ass woman down there in the D. And They cornbread fed. I said, they cornbread fed. I mean, shit. I was like, Lord have mercy. Woo. I'm breaking out of sweat right now. Just think about it. Whew. It's okay. It's okay. Calm yourself. Calm yourself. All right, I'm getting it together. And we'll see. I look forward to, but I'm not going to watch the show. I'm not even going to lie about that bullshit. But, you know, I'll keep up with the updates and find out what happened with her and who she selected and so on and so forth. I'm interested and open to that at least. You know, it's not my kind of show. Look, I'm all about 24. 24 Legacy is the shit. It's the perfect reboot. They have great characters. The young man who plays the new, quote-unquote, Jack Bauer is the shit. He played Dre in Straight Outta Compton. I like him. I like his acting style. I like just his mannerisms. Like, he's a real cool cat. I don't think he'll ever hit the level of a Denzel with the flexibility. He may. I just don't see it right now. But I think he's a very solid actor. A very solid actor. You know what I'm saying? And I'm happy for him. And I'm proud of him that he's been able to accept these challenges and do well with them, without a doubt. So I'm very much happy for him. But shit, I'm a dude still, and it is March, the last time I looked. So the madness has begun. And Upset City, baby! USC, the number 11 seed, defeated SMU 66-65. Now, I led with that because there were a couple of analysts that were very high on SMU. They were thinking that they actually might make it to the Sweet 16, if not the Elite Eight. These kids can ball. But in the tournament, man, it's like any given day, that one bucket can kill your whole season, literally and figuratively. So you have to do everything that you can to prevent that. Hence the reason I'm still pissed last night at Duke, even though we won the game. And yes, I said we. Yes, we. You cut me now, and I bleed blue. Even though we won the game last night, we failed to hit on a number of opportunities from the charity strike, from the free throw line, and I'm pissed about that. So I know Coach is pissed about that, and I'm pretty sure those young men are pissed about it right now too, because their arms are probably tired from shooting all the damn free throws today. Just saying, these are the things that prevent you from going home. You have to nail the little things. You dig? So it comes with the territory. Another 11-6, Rhode Island defeated Creighton. 84-72. Michigan State, go Sparties, defeated Miami 78-58. Now, that wasn't a huge disparity, right? That was a 9-team in Michigan State versus an 8-team in Miami. It wasn't a surprise to me either. Miami played hella well on its home court. It played hella horrible away from home. So that didn't really surprise me. I think that they have the makings of an excellent team. I think, though, that a number of those young men have gotten into their head that they're going to leave after this year, so they didn't put as much effort into gelling as a unit because they have size, they have talent. There's a lot of things going on at the U with that team, man. They should have had a better run than this, without a doubt. But it is what it is. And now they're home talking to agents and or talking about what they're going to do differently next season. Middle Tennessee is dancing yet again still. They defeated Minnesota 81-72. This is the second year that Middle Tennessee came in ranked pretty low and knocked off a higher-ranked team. They will not have that opportunity next year. If they get in the tournament next year, they will not be a 12 seed. Next year, they'll probably be a 8 or a 9, to be honest with you. The committee will definitely bump them up because of past play. If they recruit the same, they play a similar schedule and have the same results, they're not going to come in next year as a 12. I don't see that at all. I mean, absolute worst, they'll come in as a 10, but I honestly believe they're going to do either a 8 or a 9 because they've done so well for 2 years straight. Xavier, 76, Maryland, 65. Now, that burned for all you Terpins fan. I'm sorry. Terribles, Terpins, same difference. Xavier was the number 11 seed, and Maryland was a 6 seed. Again, that 11-6 combo. There's a lot of play in that combo, and you know, three teams lost, man. Shit, there's only four that played. So, yeah, the number 11 seeds are getting in this year. And the last mention for sports for me is the honorable mention. And this wasn't an upset, honestly, because it was an 8-9 play. However, this was the first year for this team, and for them to continue to dance, I know has to be extremely special for them. Chris Collins got them in through, you know, his hard work and efforts and him drilling in them that this is what you need to do, this is how you need to do it, blah, 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 blah. They did the other part by believing and executing, and Northwestern is still dancing. 68-66 over Vanderbilt. Congratulations to Northwestern and all the other teams that played and prevailed last night. To the teams whom fell short, there's the cliche of there's always next year is applicable but not appropriate. Hold your heads up high. You did something that not everyone gets to do. You made it to the NCAA 20, man. That's not wishy-washy. That's not bullshit. That's a hell of an accomplishment. You did good. You did very, very good. So continue to push forward. Work hard over the summer. Get better. Do better. And you'll be back there again next year. Right now, I need to get myself better. So it's time to do some more medication. So, family, I'm going to cut out on you all today. Again, I appreciate you as always for joining us after the damn snow that we had earlier in the week. It's a beautiful thing to have a nice sunny day today. It feels pretty good outside. It's a heat wave in respect to what we have been having it. So I'm going to enjoy a little bit of that as well. Please, you all be safe, be cautious, and we will see you the next time on the radio. Peace!